Today we'll speak with Chloe Andelhoven, Victorian Log Gate Coordinator, Coal and Gas Campaigner to Quit Coal. Dear Chloe, thank you for this interview and be welcome to Real World Radio.
Thank you.
Could you give us the good news about fracking in the Australian state of Victoria?
Yes, it's absolutely fantastic news. After a long and hard campaign fought by the communities here, we've managed to get a permanent ban on all unconventional gas exploration and extraction. So not just the process of fracking, but any drilling for gas onshore in our state is now banned.
Wow, this is great. And you're
Yeah, it's really fantastic news.
You're the first state in Australia that can achieve this banning, right?
Yes. So in Australia now, we were the first state to get a moratorium, a temporary ban on fracking back in 2012. Subsequently, we now have a couple of states that have a temporary ban. So Tasmania have a ban until 2020, which is our smallest island state in Australia. Yeah. And the Northern Territory, which is a vast area in the north of Australia, is now has a temporary ban on the process of just of fracking, but ours is the first permanent ban in Australia.
And could you describe the context that was the start for the fighting against fracking in the state? What was the situation? What projects did you have? Did you have polluting gas onshore operating fields in the state, or just contracts but not operating still? What was the situation for you?
Yeah, so back in 2011, our then Labor government, our left-wing government, actually released exploration licences across the state for the exploration of tight gas, shale gas, and what we call coal seam gas in Australia, or coal bed methane, they sometimes call it in the United States. And those licences covered some of our best farmland. So 87% of a region called Gippsland, which produces most of our milk and our potatoes and some beef as well, and other foods and fibres, and a million hectares in Western Victoria, which has some of our best dairy land as well, and a lot of sheep and wool production, and a lot of lamb and beef. And so all of these areas were covered in licences. We had deposits of all of these different kinds of unconventional gas, and several companies had begun exploration. So we had quite a few wells, exploration wells, that had already been sunk across the state. Some of them had already been fracked. And communities heard about what was happening in the United States and the problems that they were having there with fracking and unconventional gas extraction. And here in Australia, in Queensland, we actually had people starting to suffer from the environmental health consequences of fracking in Queensland as well. And people began to get concerned about these exploration licences very quickly. But actually what was also happening at the same time is people in the state above ours, New South Wales, were also starting to get some early exploration and were worried about the consequences. And they came up with some really amazing forms of resistance up there to stop the gas companies gaining access to land. Because under Australian law, the landowner doesn't own the land to the core of the earth. They only own the first foot or so of land, and any minerals underneath the property are owned by the state, and the state reserves the right to exploit those minerals if they think it's in the economic interest of the state. So landholders here don't have a right to say yes or no to any mining developments, including fracking. And there was a lot of outrage about this, about the fact that farmers and landholders couldn't decide whether or not it was going to happen on their own property. And so landholders and whole towns banded together, and they went through a grassroots democratic process and decided, none of us are going to allow any access to these companies. We're going to tell them they're not allowed on our properties, and if they do try and come, these whole towns committed to blockading them when they arrive. So over 200 towns in New South Wales made this declaration that they were going to be a gas-filled free town and they were going to do whatever it takes to stop the industry. In Victoria, we got 75 communities declare themselves gas-filled free, And this provided an amazing network of people. And these were often very conservative people in very conservative towns. And they all said that they were going to do whatever it takes to stop the industry. And this was our real footing for the political campaigning on top of that. So it's been an amazing story about conservative farmers coming together with environmentalists and other people across the town, whether they vote for the Green Party or the Labor Party, our left-wing party, or the National Party, which is probably our most right-wing party in Australia. Everyone across the political spectrum came together to say our water quality is too important, the farming is too important to our local economy. We're not going to let unconventional gas and fracking affect this.
You mentioned water. I was wondering if you have any aquifer up the rocks it was supposed to make fracking to?
The water systems that it could have affected?
Exactly.
Yeah, sure. So in Western Victoria, which is the main area that I work, nearly everybody takes their water from underground water systems. There are some above ground reservoirs, but people use underground water for drinking. We use it for industrial use in factories and in industrial uses. People use it for stock water, so to give to the cows and sheep to drink. So the water that exists in this aquifer, the Dilwyn Aquifer under Western Victoria, was actually absolutely vital, not only for all the health of all of the people there, but also the health of the local economy. But people just said, we absolutely cannot put this at risk.
Can you tell me other main reasons? Which are the main reasons why fracking should be forbidden in the States?
Our Premier, who's the leader of our state here, he made the decision to ban fracking, and he did it on the grounds that we have a reputation for clean, green agricultural produce. We export huge amounts of milk and milk products to the Asian market and to China. We have, our beef gets exported to Europe. Having a clean, green image for our agriculture is absolutely vital to our economy in the state. And he cited that as the primary reason for putting the ban in place, that we cannot give any impression that Victorian agricultural produce could be contaminated in the future. And to do that, we have to make sure that we're protecting our water systems, we're protecting the land, and we're not putting it at risk from any part of the unconventional gas drilling process, whether that is contamination of underground water systems, whether it spills on the ground, whether it's impeding the work of our farmers who will suddenly have all of this infrastructure to deal with on their properties. If any of that can get in the way of agriculture, then he said that we're not going to allow it to happen.
Yeah, wow, that's beautiful. That's really beautiful. I know for you now it's normal because you are in that situation and you think, yes, this is what is done, but this is not so often. And it's beautiful that the decision thinking about the rights on the population and not so much on the interest of the enterprises. This is beautiful.
Yeah. And it was absolutely, I know what you mean because we never believed that it could happen. It's an absolute miracle. And the only thing that really did it with us was we worked really hard to bring the entire community along with us. So when these communities... When someone in the community got concerned about it, they did a door-to-door survey asking every single person, letting them know about the risks of the industry and asking them, do you want to join us in refusing them to gain access and to declare our town gas field free? And the results that came back from those surveys were amazing. We had 90%+ of people saying that they didn't want to let it go ahead and that said, no matter what the gas companies say, no matter what the government says, we're not going to allow it to get ahead. And once we had a network of these communities who were so steadfast, and because they had 90%+ of people behind them, it started to grow real political power, and eventually our politicians realised that the stronger they tried to push fracking, the bigger political fight they would have on their hands, and the more and more blockades. And we've had probably the biggest blockade in Australian history over this issue in New South Wales. There was a blockade in a little town called Bentley, which is a very conservative community in New South Wales, and they had about 1,000 people show up to that blockade in and out every day. And there was the day when they were going to bring 800 police to escort a drilling rig onto that property. And they were expecting 10,000 people from the local town and surrounds to come to stop that drill rig going ahead. And the police just couldn't deal with that kind of confrontation. Even with 800 police, they couldn't deal with confronting 10,000 people. So they ended up finding a loophole in the contract, which said that they were supposed to do some kind of community consultation. And so the premier of that state ended up exploiting this loophole in the legislation to stop the drilling going ahead, so they wouldn't have this big confrontation with the police and the community. So definitely there have been big fights here along the way to get us into this kind of position, and it's been a lot of long hard sacrifice from the community.
One question I had to ask you was, what was the role of public participation in the final decision of banning fracking? But as you're telling me, I think it was very important.
It was all of it. It was absolutely all of it. On this issue, we got more submissions than we've had to any political process before in our state's history. Tens of thousands of people across the state who've been involved in some way, door knocking their communities or writing to newspapers, writing to politicians, organising protests. It's just been an absolutely huge effort from the community right across the state.
It's so great. I must say congratulations for all the work and also for what you achieved. I was wondering also if you still have some formal steps before the fracking is definitely forbidden.
So the legislation is supposed to go through Parliament in December.
Yes.
So we're going to be watching very closely the government until then. And then when they put that legislation through, we're going to have some big parties.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. But also, is there anything that you think that it was important to say and I was not asking?
I just think that it's so important that for us to emphasise that in the end it was only people power that was going to win it. It was only, thousands of people just finding the thing that they can do to contribute to the campaign, to get the knowledge and awareness up in the broader community and get that community support. And it's just, it's just been amazing. It had a totally transformational effect on politics in the rural areas here.
Yes, thank you for the example. It's very important. We have a similar fight here, and it's good for you, but it's good for the rest of the world to see that it's possible to do it.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. Well, I hope we can offer inspiration, and we'd love to talk more about how we did it, if that helps too.